I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
It's a third straight day of outrage in Israel and new pressure on the Netanyahu government for its handling of this war against Hamas. Protesters carrying Israeli flags and pictures of the hostages demand, and demand is the word here, a ceasefire deal. And President Biden has now suggested that Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, well, he's not doing enough, according to Biden, to get this done. MTS Tayeb is in Israel. His report has images that may disturb you. Heads up on that. MTS, good morning to you.
Good morning. Well, anger at Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu following the killings of those six hostages, including an Israeli-American, is only growing as Israelis continue to desperately call for a ceasefire agreement, which would see the 100 or so remaining captives freed.
At least that would be the plan. That is assuming they're still alive. Yes, the outrage against Benjamin Netanyahu because he will not accept a ceasefire that Hamas would want, which would be deadly for all of Israel and all Israelis and all Jews, not just in Israel but around the world, he won't accept that. And his political enemies are using that. And I can't say anything to denounce the parents of those hostages who have been killed already and are under threat now. I'm not going to denounce them because they're emotionally tied to it. But you can't be emotionally tied, even if it were my child being held. Israel has to do what it needs to do to protect the nation as a whole. Millions more. And yet there are battles inside the ranks, and not just in the protests that took place in Israel, but of course in New York City over the weekend, 7,000 in the streets of New York City. They were not waving Palestinian flags. They were waving the Hamas flag, praising Hamas, the executioners of those prisoners. You think you can make peace with these people? And now another news report has surfaced out of Israel about how Netanyahu has rejected a possible peace deal. We'll break it down for you. Thanks for joining us. Here we are, September 4, 2024, on Larry Connors USA. We're here Monday through Friday night for you from 6 to 8 p.m. When we're on the air, we are streaming video. You can watch at News Talk STL Rumble, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Larry Connors USA Rumble, or Facebook. And everything goes up as a podcast, video and audio, when we complete the program. So you can go then and see it at LarryConnorsUSA.com or LarryConnorsUSA Facebook. The latest report coming out from a news outlet, and this includes CNN adding their balance to it. Note I didn't say their confidence and their respect, but their balance to try to, again, go after Netanyahu. According to an Israeli newspaper, citing a document it says it obtained, that the Israeli prime minister back in July effectively spiked the draft hostage and ceasefire deal by introducing a new 11th-hour demand. Well, obviously the senior Israeli officials deny that and say it was misinformed, misleading, hampers the chance of achieving the release of hostages. I don't know the fact one way or the other than the fact that we do know, and this has been confirmed by the U.S., since late April, there have been five different times that Secretary of State Blinken and a CIA deputy director have stated Israel is willing to accept these ceasefire plans. Now it's up to Hamas, and Hamas rejected them. And you remember that Hamas was saying you cannot let them come into Rafah. And the world in general, the UN and everyone else is saying, do not go into Rafah. It'd be more carnage. You should not go there. You know where they found the hostages that they did find and are still looking for others? In Rafah. And that's why Hamas does not want Israeli troops going into that area. But they're doing it anyway. They did rescue a man the other day, and then they tried to get to these six, but word got out that they were getting ready to move in, and they executed them. They executed them. And you want to put that on the Israeli prime minister's head? Before October 7, those people were living in Israel in basic peace. Who took them hostage? Who's been holding them hostage? Who raped, tortured, killed, and chopped off the heads of babies on October 7 and since? And yet the emotions are carrying forward, which are in part understandable, especially for those who have loved ones being held hostage. But the Israeli prime minister cannot have the luxury of dealing in emotions. He has to deal with the facts that are in front of him. I want you to listen to a couple of experts on their view of what's been going on and why it's happening, especially realizing Hamas is realizing that we're just not going to be that effective. One of them is Robert O'Brien, former Trump national security aide.
The Hamas executed these hostages. It's not just Hirsch, it's the five others who are great, great young people. They executed mobland style with point-blank bullets to the head. And they did it knowing that Hirsch was an American and knowing that we've got two carrier battle groups off the shore. But they knew there was going to be no repercussions for their terrible, heinous acts. They knew there would be maybe some words spoken by Karen Jean-Pierre at the podium, but nothing would happen to them. And just contrast that to President Trump with ISIS, who killed far fewer Americans than Hamas has killed on October 7th until today. We've destroyed every last inch of the physical caliphate, a caliphate the size of Great Britain. And then we brought justice in a daring raid over 1,500 miles behind enemy lines to Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi and brought him justice for killing the Americans that he killed. None of that's happening today. Under Ronald Reagan, we remember when Leon Klinghoffer was killed on the Achille Lauro cruise ship. Reagan said, you can run, but you can't hide. And we sent F-14s up to intercept the plane that was trying to whisk these terrorists to freedom. None of that is going on here, and it is a shame. We've lost total respect from our adversaries, and I think we're losing respect from our allies, because instead of going after the bad guys, we're complaining about Benjamin Netanyahu.
And in fact, Americans are among those complaining. And there was an American Israeli citizen killed the other day. I've yet to hear the White House condemning that and saying we need to go in there and rescue others that might still be Americans held inside. And when Joe Biden was asked the other day, is he getting ready to board Air Force One, do you think Benjamin Netanyahu has been doing enough to secure a ceasefire after five different events since late April agreeing to ceasefire proposals that Hamas rejected? Biden's answer is no. The next question for the president should have been, but he's not going to stand still and hear it. Do you think Hamas is doing enough? Would he say no? Or would he say we should accept their conditions? You think that's going to free those people? You think that's going to ease the threat and the violence? Let me give you another viewpoint. Brian Hook was a former U.S. special representative for the U.S. focusing on Iran.
The Biden administration has lost deterrence in the Middle East. And President Trump, when we were in office, had restored the deterrence that was lost under President Obama. And I feel like this is Groundhog Day, that these successive Democratic administrations keep losing deterrence in the Middle East, and the consequence is that Americans end up getting killed as a consequence of a foreign policy that has not been successful. And the Biden-Harris administration seems to have a foreign policy of admiring the problem and then blaming our friends when things go wrong. They need to be blaming Hamas. As you said, Larry, Hamas is the problem. Mm. The leader of Hamas has not agreed to a number of deals that the Israelis have agreed to. I personally don't think there are any terms that would be acceptable to Hamas that would also be acceptable to the United States and Israel. I think the Biden administration needs to start showing a great deal more support for Israel. And ultimately, they have to get after the root of the problem, which is the Iranian regime.
Yeah, and that's really where it really went south, when Biden came in and decided to cancel the Trump ban on anything going into or out of Iran, and allowing oil out of Iran and money to come in, which then they can filter throughout the Middle East in various currencies that would fit wherever they're needed, and basically fuel terrorist actions, which they've been doing. And standing between those hostages and getting them released, now we have Americans and even fellow Jews. And this newspaper report that came out and said that Benjamin Netanyahu back in July spiked a plan that might have gotten the American dual citizenship citizen free. I don't know facts other than what they're telling us. I would never pass off that that is a fact. That's the claim of that paper. And I'm reporting the claims of what the Israeli government says and what our own government has acknowledged, that Israel accepted 5 different peace plans since late April. It was Hamas who turned its back on them. And if we continue to let this rage and we continue to let Iran fuel its coffers with money and build out its nuclear plan. Mark Levin had Donald Trump on recently, and they were talking specifically about the threat of Iran in the background of this entire scenario.
4 years ago, Iran had no money. They had no money for any of these terrorist organizations. So they had no money so they could attack Israel. Now they have a lot of money. Iran has almost $300 billion. They've got Iraq that has almost $300 billion. It's a lot of money. And they made it in 3.5 years. Iran made all this money in 3.5 years. People couldn't buy oil from them. They weren't allowed by me. And I'm not looking to be enemies with Iran. I'd love to get along with them, great, but they can't have a nuclear weapon. Just can't let them have a nuclear weapon. I'll say this, if they do have a nuclear weapon, Israel is gone. It'll be gone.
Dare you imagine what the Middle East would be like without Israel? First of all, the lives of the Israelis lost, but also then the escalation against the Western world and, of course, certainly our nation. You don't even want to imagine that. Tomorrow, Trump is to detail his fiscal plans for his second term, what he's going to do for America. Meanwhile, Harris is still blowing in the wind, maybe waiting to see Trump's plans so she can copy them. J.D. Vance.
But let's laugh at the fact that Kamala Harris is promising to do something if the American people give her promotion that she hasn't been doing for the past 3.5 years as vice president. This is the lie at the heart of Kamala Harris's campaign, that if you elect her, she's somehow going to be different than she already has been in office, where her policies have caused higher grocery prices, higher food prices, and of course a wide open southern border. So we have to say that if Kamala Harris thinks these policies are going to do a lot of good, and of course most of them are nonsensical, but if she thinks they're going to do a lot of good, she should try them out now because she's currently in power, not promised to do something when she's in office in the future that she's not doing when she's in the office in the present.
And you know why she's not willing to do that now? Because if she actually acted on what she really believes, she would be turning everything upside down. You have to keep in mind, she's already expressed previously, she's Marxist, she's communist-leaning. And yet when it comes to these flip-flop issues on fracking, the economy, things of this nature, she says, one thing that I do take seriously, I still have my core values. We don't supposedly know what the core values are, and yet we do, but she mouths one thing for one audience and one need, and then for the other audience and for their vote, she mouths something else, and often in different fake accents. But beyond that, the one truth she has said, I hold dear to my core values. She's not telling you officially what her core values are, but we know what she wants to do. She clearly wants to become a globalist, make the U.S. part of the globalist picture with Marxist communist type controls. J.D. Vance again.
Kamala Harris's entire economic program fundamentally boils down to pro-globalism, anti-American workers. She wants to raise taxes on American workers and reward companies for shipping jobs overseas, sometimes subsidize them actively for manufacturing in places like China. And what does Donald Trump want to do? He wants to lower taxes on American workers, penalize China, and penalize companies that are manufacturing overseas instead of hiring and building in the United States of America.
Well,
it's a fundamentally different approach. And I don't think, Laura, that you can build a middle class in this country by allowing the Chinese to steal our entire industrial base. That's what Kamala Harris has done, and that's what she wants to double down on.
Yeah, and she will if she gets the opportunity. Florida Congressman Byron Donald says, you need to remember, and this is where we always tell folks, if you don't know your history, you're bound to repeat it, and we do not want to go down that road again.
People gotta have to go back to late 2016 when our economy under then President Barack Obama was very stagnant. The Obama-Biden administration was putting out the talking points for really a couple of years about people needed to expect just stable, low growth. That was gonna be the new norm in America's economy. In comes Donald Trump. We change tax policy. We change energy policy. We cut massive regulations at the federal level. And lo and behold, we had one of the greatest booms in economic growth in the history of the country, and the wage gap, the things that the Democrats love to talk about, the wage gap was actually lowered under Donald J. Trump. Contrast that with Kamala Harris. We still don't even know what the details are on her economic plan, and you hit the nail on the head. Her child tax credit plan that she has is the same one they stuck in the American Rescue Plan, which created the labor shortage, which unleashed this inflation back in 2021. She already broke the economy once. America, please don't let Kamala Harris break it again. We need Donald Trump.
Do not let her break it again. CNN is out with a new poll saying that Harris is polling above Trump in Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, Wisconsin. That's their lead, but then they add, though her slight lead is either within or just barely outside the margins of error. They want you to read the headline only. Look, she's pulling ahead, and she is ahead. There's a note that a CNN anchor made. Harris has made very clear, concerted choice not to break with Joe Biden. She continues to cling to him like a life raft. So she's got Biden as a life raft, and he's sinking. And she's got her support animal, Tim Walz, around her, which is dragging her down even more. And yet she thinks she can solve the country's our country's problems, much less deal with the crisis around the world. Eye to eye with someone like Putin, Premier Xi, without them laughing behind her back when she leaves a room. Next hour, we're going to focus on the California planning to give $150,000 to each illegal for a down payment. Pelosi and other libs are celebrating. We haven't heard anything from Harris on this. This is the state she had represented. And how many blue-collar Dems and Americans will be in celebrating as well? Blue-collar Dems, they think that's good? Coming up, Newt Gingrich has a prediction about the coming election. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
My sponsor, Wellington Environmental, has helped thousands deal with hazardous materials. Hospitals, offices, schools, even homes. Here's something new. Wellington now offers dustless blasting. This is just like sandblasting, but without all the dust and emissions. Wellington uses everything from ground glass, walnuts, corn, even dry ice pellets. One university had Wellington remove their parking lot striping, because dustless blasting is fast and it does not damage the concrete. So as a business or homeowner, I'm sure you could use this process. Industrial tanks, swimming pools, graffiti on buildings. And in fact, Wellington is blasting a Texaco station that will be revised as an historic building. Check the website for details and photos. WellingtonSTL.com. WellingtonSTL.com.
While I'm away fighting for my country, my family is left behind to fight loneliness, school and job changes, and tight budgets.
Their duty is to our country. Our duty is to make sure no military family is left behind. Learn more at ASYMCA.org.
So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check vincentsjewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's my only jeweler. vincentsjewelers.com. vincentsjewelers.com.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, if the economy stupid, we should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30 on News Talk STL.
If you haven't been to Lit Cigar Lounge in the District at Chesterfield, you're missing a great experience. Premium cigars, drinks, spacious seating, TVs in every direction. This and more explain why Lit was voted Best Cigar Lounge 2 years in a row. Now you can be at Lit and order Napoli Brothers pizza and pasta delivered to you. In fact, Napoli's just a few doors down, a coal-fired oven giving a unique taste. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta, now open in the Chesterfield District.
Are you thinking about buying medicine online? A search for online pharmacies yields more than 20 million results. But which ones can you trust? Medicines bought from unlicensed online pharmacies can be dangerous. You may get a fake drug, your condition may get worse, or you may experience a bad reaction. Don't put your health at risk. To learn how to find an online pharmacy that's safe and legal, visit fda.gov/besaferx. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
Great news for my sponsor, Napoli C. And it's no surprise to me nor hundreds who have dined there. The first time I entered, it was clear Napoli C is unique. The decor, the fish, imaginative cocktails. And, of course, Napoli C is right next door to Napoli 3 in St. Charles. Napoli 2 is in Town and Country. The original Cafe Napoli is in Clayton. And I'm honored to endorse each of them. Visit any of the Cafe Napolis.
This is News Talk STL.
I guess I grew up on an older road. A pedal to the metal, always did what I told. Until I found out that my brand new clothes came secondhand from the rich kids next door. And I grew up fast, I guess I grew up mean. There's a thousand things inside my head I wish I ain't seen. And now I just wander through a real bad dream. Or feeling like I'm coming apart at the seams. But thank you, Jack Daniels. Oh, number seven, Tennessee.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
My guess is that she's beginning to crumble and that Waltz is a significant part of that crumbling. And my guess is that Trump is beginning to find his stride and will be in pretty good shape in the next 2 or 3 weeks. The challenge for Harris is that nobody actually knows a lot about her. And so as you fill in the gaps, people begin to realize both how radical she is, but also how totally unready she is. I mean, you imagine her negotiating with Vladimir Putin. You imagine her in the room with Xi Jinping or dealing with other figures around the world. She's just not ready.
Not ready. Can't put a complete sentence together. Do you think she's going to really make an impression on them? She's not even fit to be a small town mayor, and I apologize to the small town mayors by putting you in the same bag as Harris. You would do better in many cases than she would. That was Newt Gingrich, of course, who came in under Ronald Reagan and He knows where strength lies with inside the White House, the Oval Office. You've got to have someone there that has the ability to speak clearly, distinctly, and enforce what they say they're going to do. And not blow in the wind and change because I'm getting reaction from an opposing side that might hurt me in another election or my future. And this word coming out today, no surprise, but already the leftists are beginning to put this into play. Now, if I know many conservatives have been doing the same, and I understand this. We have every reason to question the elections and how they're going to be going down because now we're getting more and more documentation about votes that just went missing in Georgia, 700,000 votes short of what they'd tallied at one point. And then they have a different tally. Arizona, numerous illegals voting and admitting in a recent interview, about 2% of those interviewed admitted that they were illegal, and yet they still voted in the 2020 election. According to the director of U.S. Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, an estimated 97% of registered voters in this 2024 election will be casting a ballot in a jurisdiction with a verified paper record, adding transparency to the vote. Well, that sounds good if it's actually carried out. And at the same time, we've got the Biden administration today apparently moving forward to address what they consider is Russia, Kremlin, once again, trying to interfere with our election. Six sources saying the same thing to CNN, talking about the Russian state media network, RT, formerly known as Russia Today, is a major focus, and they see it nothing but as a piece of Kremlin propaganda and its outlets and then other outlets they're using. So Attorney General Merrick Garland today says we'll have a task force that will include FBI Director Christopher Wray, and we'll be watching for this moving forward. This would be the second major effort by the Biden administration to stop Russia from interfering with our election. Well, I'm all for that. I'm for stopping Russia and any effort they're doing, or China, or Iran, or Democrats who are doing the same thing behind the curtain. And I'm against Republicans cheating in the election. Newt Gingrich, again, back to Kamala Harris, and that people really don't know her because she hasn't made any clear policy. Her policy page on her website is blank, waiting to be filled in. I told you that tomorrow Donald Trump is to start releasing his fiscal plans for a second term. What he sees can be done to help America, to help everyone from the common poor worker or non-worker even, to those above. And yes, I'm sure some rich will benefit. So be it. Do you think that you should earn the salary of a baseball star, an NBA star? I'd like to, but I know I don't have that skill. And no one's going to pay me to play out in that field position or on the court for the money they're getting. See, meritocracy does have a value. And that's why some, even on the NBA and baseball circuit and other sports, they get more than others because they earn it the old-fashioned way. But the other problem with Harris is her companion animal. Here's Gingrich again.
And you look at Waltz. Waltz is worse. He may be the most dishonest vice presidential candidate in history. And I think he'll end up being the worst since Tom Eagleton had to resign from the ticket way back in 1972. He's just a disaster. And day by day, we learn more about how weird he is, and how often he lies, and how strongly the people around him resented the fact that he lied. So I feel personally that Trump is in a good space to keep focusing on the issues, to keep drawing the contrast, and to remind people that a tax increasing left-wing Democrat taking money out of your pocket is not nearly as good as an entrepreneur who wants to put money in your pocket. And that's the biggest single gap between Trump and Harris.
Yeah, and for instance, we're going to get into it more in the next hour with my guest. California legislatures, I told you the other day, which Harris, before becoming vice president, was a senator from California. Remember that? Well, they did pass, waiting for the governor to sign off, on a $150,000 payment to each illegal in California so they can use that for a down payment on a house. Now, I'm sure there are a lot of hardworking Americans, blue-collar Democrats in California, who would like to have more money for a down payment on a house so they can move somewhere else inside California, but to a better location or just a better home. But they're not going to be included in this. And we're hearing all the California libs all excited about it. And even Nancy Pelosi. Haven't heard Harris direct it. Directly state anything, and Governor Newsom is yet to officially sign it, but it becomes law anyway. After 12 days, it was placed on his desk, which was back before Labor Day. And you've got Democrats defecting because their party has left them. One of them out of Texas, a Democrat Texas state representative, Sean Thierry, I believe is correct pronunciation, said, "I'm out of here. I'm not going to be a Democrat anymore. They're not what I stand for. I'm not for pushing agenda-affirming care. I'm not for pushing transgender surgery on kids. I'm not for anything the Democrats, the liberal Democrats, the progressive wing, are leading us to, and I'm not going to stay. I'm going to the GOP side." Smart woman. And yet in the midst of Texas, my home state, there are blue spots that are just out of control, and they're going to get worse before they get better, unfortunately. But again, when it comes to Harris against Trump, Gingrich says, in my view, it's basically over.
I believe that she peaked the night of her acceptance speech. And if you remember, Michael Dukakis peaked at 17 points ahead. She was probably at best 2 or 3 points ahead, and that was her momentum. And she's been losing ground ever since. They're not going to Virginia, New Hampshire, and Minnesota for fun. They're going because they're beginning to see the margin of their own states crumble. They're seeing all three of those states move into contention. I think New Mexico will be next because the oil and gas industry is so big down there. You know, and I think you just go place by place. I'm certain, as somebody born in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, with relatives who still live in the middle of the state, they're going to lose Pennsylvania, period. She could have picked the governor of Pennsylvania, Shapiro. That might have helped her. But when you have an anti-fracking candidate in a state which has literally two of the four largest natural gas fields in the entire world are in western Pennsylvania, billions and billions of dollars of economic opportunity, I just think Trump will carry Pennsylvania and win the election.
That would be great. That would be great if that happens. But again, I want to warn and caution you, do not buy into hype from anyone, including Newt Gingrich, that Trump is going to win. You make sure he wins. You get out the vote. Get your family and friends and like-minded people to get to the polls. But right now, I like the way it's looking. But we're still 60-plus days away, although some voting starts just next week in Pennsylvania. Early voting. Going to have to keep an eye on all of that as we move forward. Coming up, the lies, and the more lies that were peddled and pushed on us during COVID. Let's review some of that in reference to Mark Zuckerberg.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
LarryConnorsUSA. John Beale knows it right after a hailstorm. New roofing companies start popping up everywhere. But the Small Business Administration reports 96% of them go out of business within the first 5 years. So how good is that warranty? John Beale started in the roofing business helping his granddad and his dad. Always offering the best roof, best price, best guarantee. John Beale Roofing, not some fly-by-the-night operation. Call my friend John. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
This hour of Larry Connors USA, brought to you by my friends at Renewal by Anderson. And listen to this. Renewal is having a killer of a sale. Buy any window or door. Get a second one. 50% off, zero interest, no payments for 18 months. Renewal has the most five-star reviews of any full-service window company. Simply dial #250, #250, and say the key word, windows.
Most of us like to be out in the sun. That's why sunscreen and other safety measures are key to protecting your skin from aging and cancer. The FDA recommends using a sunscreen with an SPF of 15 or higher. Also, look for broad spectrum on the label. That means both harmful ultraviolet A and B rays are blocked. Remember, SPF plus broad spectrum equal healthy fun in the sun. Visit www.fda.gov/sunscreen for more information. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
Loyalty means a lot at J. Ackerman Toyota. That's why during COVID, Ackerman refused to charge over sticker price, while others did. Ackerman stayed true to their customers, selling at or below manufacturer-suggested prices. Ackerman will get you what you want, and the service department has the same spirit. You come first. And thank you for making Ackerman Toyota number one in 2023. Ackerman Toyota, AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota for life.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA. That's a big game, man.
She's really losing control.
People in China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
He is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Illegal immigration is crazy right now.
This United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
Here's some expert advice from McGuire Moving and Storage. If you have a home or business move coming up, you need to book now. Most moving companies are booked 6 to 8 weeks out. So call McGuire now, get an on-site estimate, set a date. McGuire has 85 years of experience and just won the Spire Quality Award. I can personally testify, McGuire goes above and beyond to help the clients. McGuire Moving and Storage, McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Oh, I can feel my face when I'm with you. My love is, my love is. Oh, and I know she'll be the death of me. At least we'll both be numb. And she'll always get the best of me. The worst is yet to come. All the misery was necessary when what deep in love is, I know.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The greatest perpetrator of misinformation during the pandemic has been the United States government. Misinformation that COVID was spread through surface transmission, that vaccinated immunity was far greater than natural immunity, that masks were effective. Now we have the definitive Cochrane review. What do you do with that review? Cochrane is the most authoritative evidence body in all of medicine and has been for decades. Do you just ignore it, not talk about it? That myocarditis was more common after the infection than the vaccine. Not true. It's 4 to 28 times more common after the vaccine. That young people benefit from a booster. Misinformation. Our two top experts on vaccines quit the FDA in protest
over this particular issue, pushing boosters in young, healthy people. The data was never there. That's why the CDC never disclosed hospitalization rates among boosted Americans under age 50.
Another reason to cover everything up. You were listening to then to Surgeon Dr. Martin McCauley, Johns Hopkins, and pointing out how often the government was lying to us during COVID. That was during some testimony he had given previously to Congress. I want to couple that with the fact that the other day Mark Zuckerberg came out and admitted that his Facebook operation, Meta, bowed to pressure from the White House. Do you remember this? He stated in a congressional letter what we've all been saying for years. He said, in 2021, senior officials from the Biden administration, including the White House, repeatedly pressured our teams for months to censor certain COVID-19 content, including humor and satire. Not even a joke could be made on Facebook. Question has been raised by Jeffrey Tucker writing an opinion piece for the Brownstone Institute. The Brownstone Institute states that it prides itself on economic, sound, or social policy, public health, enlightened values, especially in the face of censorship. So against this, he wrote a piece simply titled, "Why Did Zuckerberg Choose Now to Confess to COVID Censorship?" And again, Jeffrey Tucker, the author of this article, said, "The difference in having an article unthrottled, much less amplified by Facebook in these years was a multifold. When my article, the one he wrote about the flu in 1969, went through, I experienced a level of traffic I'd never seen in my career. It was mind-boggling. When the article was shut down some 2 weeks later, after Focus troll accounts alerted Facebook that the algorithms had made a mistake, traffic fell to a usual trickle." He said, "Again, in my entire career of closely following internet traffic patterns, I've never seen anything like this." So therein lies a statement as to why Facebook was doing what it did and why the government wanted to make sure. Again, back to Dr. McCauley.
The vaccine mandates would increase vaccination rates. The George Mason University study shows it didn't. It did one thing. It created never-vaxxers who are now not getting the childhood vaccines they need to get. Over and over again, we've seen something that goes far beyond using your best judgment with the information at hand. We've seen something which is unforgivable, and that is the weaponization of medical research itself. The CDC putting out their own shoddy studies, like their own study on natural immunity, looking at one state for 2 months, when they had data for years on all 50 states.
Data on all 50 states, and they didn't bother. Weaponization of our government at so many levels under this current administration would continue under Harris. That's the point here. You need to keep this in mind. So Zuckerberg has come out and admitted, yes, we bowed to pressure. But next time we'll push back harder. So you say. Back to the Jeffrey Tucker article for the Brownstone Institute. He said, "What does it mean that Zuckerberg now openly admits he excluded from view anything that contradicted government wishes? It means that any opinions on lockdowns, masks, vaccine mandates, and all of that is associated with including church and school closures, plus vaccine harms, we're not part of the public." And many of us, he said, even like me, came to believe that average people were simply cowards and stupid not to object. He said, "Now we know maybe they were objecting, but they were being silenced. It never got on Facebook. They were shutting them down." By the way, he brings up the Minnesota governor's race in 2022, won by Tim Walz, now running with VP Kamala Harris. He was running against a highly credentialed medical expert, Dr. Scott Jensen, and COVID response was his main campaign issue. How did that race end up? Walz, the Democrat, won 1.3 million votes. Jensen got $1.1 million. The point being here is that if Jensen's material and information actually got out, maybe it would have helped him, but he could not get anything. He could get no traction. Facebook banned him from advertising completely. It reduced his reach by 90%, basically costing him the election. And again, that is all part of the Zuckerberg censorship. He points out it goes beyond even election manipulation. Please listen. Please listen. And do not lose control of your car in these next few moments I read this statement. It was an outright coup that overthrew an entire generation of leaders who stood up for freedom, replace them with a generation of leaders who acquiesced to power exactly at the time it mattered the most. And back to the question that he originally began with, why did Zuckerberg choose to reveal it now? Well, he said Zuckerberg admitted that he was unnerved by the assassination attempt on Trump's life. Yeah, the French arrest of the Telegram founder and CEO, which should rattle any major CEO of a communication platform. You have litigation over free speech back in play now that RFK Jr. has been cleared as having standing, kicking the case of Missouri v. Biden back to the Supreme Court. And here's the other kicker, especially pressing since the person who did the censoring at the Biden White House, Rob Flaherty, now serves as digital communications strategist for the Harris-Walz campaign. And he adds and concludes, there can be no question the DNC intends to deploy all the same tools many times over and far more powerful should they take back the White House. And closing words from Dr. Markey.
Over and over again, we've seen something that goes far beyond using your best judgment with the information at hand. We've seen something which is unforgivable, and that is the weaponization of medical research itself. The CDC putting out their own shoddy studies, like their own study on natural immunity, looking at one state for 2 months, when they had data for years on all 50 states. Why did they only report that one sliver of data? Why did they salami slice the giant database? Because it gave them the result they wanted. Same with masking study. Well, the data has now caught up in giant systematic reviews, and the public health officials were intellectually dishonest. They lied to the American people.
They lied to the American people. Now, Dr. Fake is gone, and others in the hierarchy around him are gone, but that does not mean that there's not an undercurrent of the swamp that remains. And I think what we just read in that opinion piece by Jeffrey Tucker, I'm going to repeat it again, because I want this to be carried in your mind and for you to mark this program and share it with your friends, family, even enemies, especially when it comes to the COVID issue and how you got played and downplayed and censored. Robert Flaherty, who did the censoring at the Biden White House, now is serving as digital communications strategist for the Harris-Walz campaign. He knows how to play the game, he knows how to make it work, and he knows what buttons to push. Do you want them back in the White House doing that? And you know, we still don't have all the answers on the attempt to assassinate Donald Trump. Many questions, few answers. Missouri Senator Hawley says whistleblowers are verifying this was FUBAR. FUBAR, you know the meaning? F up beyond all repair. Some of the stories are frightening. Senator Hawley.
Most of the agents who were there at that rally in Butler were not Secret Service agents. They were, in fact, Homeland Security agents. And get this, most of those Homeland Security agents, the only training that they received was an online webinar, a two-hour online webinar. And I'm told that about half the time, the sound to the webinar didn't even work. So think about this. The President of the United States, former President of the United States, Donald Trump, is sent out on stage. Most of the people there aren't trained. They're not qualified. They only got a webinar training, and even that didn't work. It is absolutely outrageous.
So that's all it takes to become a Secret Service agent. you go to a PowerPoint presentation. But if the sound is off, maybe you don't really learn anything. And the other point being raised by some of these whistleblowers, most of those, and we had noted this previously, most of the Secret Service agents seen around the Trump event that day were not his standard detail. Now, I understand they had to rotate people off and on, but there's some essentials that should stay there. The Secret Service agent, female, and she may have earned her stripes to be there. I don't know. But she did not show her ability that day because she was bringing in Homeland Security agents. Many of them were previously chasing down children that are missing across the nation, which thank God someone is trying to do that, but they were not prepared to protect the president. So we'll give them a PowerPoint presentation and they should be able to protect the president. Give me a break. This is the way we school and train. And somebody thought that that would actually be effective. And what still bothers me, and it should be bothering you, CNN, which had made it very clear, we're not going to carry any of President Trump's speeches because we can't fact check them fast enough, and we have no idea what's going to come out of his mouth, and he's not going to use our airway for his propaganda. Now, they don't mind listening to Kamala Harris or Tim Walz lie and tell stories over and over again, not bothering to fact check, and don't care what comes out of their mouth because they're on our side, and we're on their side. So why did CNN decide that day, for that event, they were going to go live? They were going to be live. And if the shooter had been accurate, if Trump had not turned his head in just a flash of an instant to point to a graph, that bullet, instead of nicking his ear, would have entered his skull. On live TV, you would have seen the president assassinated. Of the president to be and a former president. Did CNN have some kind of inside information or was it just a coincidence? I don't buy those kinds of coincidences, do you? I'm not trying to create a conspiracy. I'm just asking questions and I don't see any answers. I want you to hear from an Orthodox Jew who has many considered to be a leading influencer among Orthodox Jews, predicting how that vote's going to go and go for Trump. That story when we continue.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount. They pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton? Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C, the Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone or your entire office. Cafe Napoli, Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Most of the Orthodox Jewish community is voting for Donald J. Trump. And by the way, I say most because there is that one guy, I actually do know one guy, and he's embarrassed to admit it, by the way, that is voting for Kamala Harris. So the number one reason why most Orthodox Jews are voting for Donald is because the guy fears God. He understands that God is in control of everything. When he got shot, when he had the assassination attempt on his life,
that was really something incredible. That was from God.
The first thing that he said was that it was a miracle by God, and that was what gave him the strength to continue going. As you know, an Orthodox Jewish life completely revolves around God, and when they see that somebody is not ashamed and not embarrassed to speak about God in their daily life, that resonates with our community tremendously, and we respect him for that, where most candidates are not willing to talk about God because they're afraid of offending an atheist. Somebody who fears God is not afraid.
Absolutely not afraid. That is Burrell Solomon, an internet influencer, Orthodox Jew. Coming up, we're going to dissect the Kamala Harris proposal and Pelosi buying into $150,000 for illegals for homes. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.